This is a UNC Kidney Center podcast produced to help you understand kidney disease. I am Dr. Ronald Falk, director of the UNC Kidney Center, and today I'll be talking with David Cole. David is a remarkable individual who received a kidney transplant in 2001 and is also the organizer of a wonderful bike race called the Raven Rock Ramble, a 100-mile bike ride that promotes awareness of the importance of organ donation. Now, David is here today. He's going to spend some time with us to tell us his story, how he went from a very healthy athlete to a person diagnosed with kidney disease, and then how his life changed with his kidney transplant. So welcome, David Cole.
Thank you very much, Dr. Falk. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's start with you telling us your story, and let's begin the story more with what was life like for you before you even heard the word kidney disease?
Well, I was enjoying a very active lifestyle. I was sort of a late-blooming athlete throughout high school and college. I was sporting 205, 210 pounds, but in my mid-20s, I took up volleyball and then running. Knee injury took me into cycling, which became my true love, and I was in good shape, so much so that when in the fall of 97, my primary care physician suggested I get a routine physical exam, I kind of laughed and said, well, sure, I'll knock that out of the park. Didn't quite, though. He detected some red blood cells and protein in the urine. One test led to another. And ultimately, a biopsy revealed I had IgA nephropathy.
So before we go into the details of that kidney disease, when you say you're a cyclist, you're one of those crazy cyclists.
Well, I do enjoy riding long distances. I've done a number of the 100-mile rides in the mountains. I guess most recently, the Blue Ridge Brutal and the Blood, Sweat, and Gears rides up around Boone.
So explain to me what a blood, sweat, and tears ride really is like.
Well, gears, but that ride has about 9,500 vertical feet of climbing, so about a mile and a half. It's a hard ride, but it's the kind of ride that folks use to challenge themselves and to train and prepare for. And I found with that kind of event on your calendar, you get yourself in better shape than if it's not there.
So it's really not blood, sweat, and tears. It's blood, sweat, and gears. I'm telling my age. Okay, so there you were, a competitive athlete in a number of sports who is given this diagnosis, IgA nephropathy. What did those words even mean to you? You were a young man.
I was 41 at the time. When we first met with the nephrologist that gave us the test results, he said, you know, in a few years down the road, you may need a transplant. And my wife's and mine jaws just dropped. I mean, it just didn't make sense. And didn't know what to make of it because I was otherwise so healthy. I really didn't know what to expect. You know, I looked up what I could. I could see that there were some treatments, but no real cure to speak of. I was hoping I could suspend it indefinitely, but the symptoms I had were getting worse over time.
What were the symptoms that were bothering you?
Well, initially it was just leg cramps. And quite honestly, if I hadn't been cycling, I wouldn't have noticed this for a good while. As time went on, one of the things you deal with kidney disease is anemia. So I was becoming anemic. I was becoming very, very tired very quickly.
And that message from your physician that in the future you're going to get a kidney transplant, that must have really taken you and your wife by surprise.
Oh, absolutely. And in my mind, that was the final destination to be avoided. I want to do everything in my power to sustain whatever level of health I had and avoid a transplant. In retrospect, I shouldn't have been so fearful.
But I think most people who are told, you're going to need a kidney transplant have a certain amount of fear and trepidation. It's an unusual thing to be told, especially if you're told that eventuality almost at the first time you meet a kidney doctor.
Oh, that's true. And for me, I knew so little about it. I had no idea what to expect either of the surgery or what might follow. So really, it was fear of the unknown.
So let's fast forward a little bit. You ended up getting a living related donor, your sister,
yes,
to give you
right.
a kidney. What goes through your mind when you're trying to think about how you're going to ask either a relative or a friend about, will you be my donor?
You know, you can't ask for a bigger gift. I was very, very blessed. I had 10 different people volunteer to be donors. I knew that living related works best for a kidney transplant. I have two older sisters, one that lives here in North Carolina and one in Arizona. And both volunteered, and it just worked out better with my sister Laura, who lives here in North Carolina.
What, though, went through your mind before you actually popped that question?
Oh, I didn't pop the question. I simply said, I have kidney disease. I will be needing a transplant in the future. And they volunteered.
They volunteered. That's a wonderful gift that they came forward to.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. If you didn't have that luxury of 10 people who wanted to donate and you were struggling with how to ask your sister that question, what advice would you give to somebody else who needs to be able to ask a relative, please give me a kidney? How would you do it?
Well, I think I'd try and lay out what the experience is like for both the donor and recipient. For the recipient, it's not just life-saving, it's life-restoring. For the donor, the surgery techniques have improved. And yes, there is surgery to go through, but within a few weeks, maybe a few months, you'll be back to normal as though the surgery never happened.
So what was the experience like for your sister?
Well, now she had a minor complication, a minor heart complication that left her in the hospital an extra day or two. She did have some pain for a few days from the surgery. Again, that was back in 2001, and the techniques have improved since then. But since then, I mean, she was saying even a few months afterwards, it was just like a dim memory, as though it had been in a dream. And interestingly, she had been putting off some jaw surgery, and she said, well, if I can donate a kidney, I can do this jaw surgery. So she ended up getting that done as well.
So, and for you as the recipient, realizing that your sister has gone through this procedure, having had, I guess, a minor event, what went through your mind as she was going through that recovery?
Well, I was hopeful that both of us would be recovering well, and that's what we ended up doing. She and I are close, as you might expect, but I just felt very, very grateful and frankly very loved that she would be there and put herself through that.
So put yourself again in the body of somebody else. What would you like someone else who is going through this kidney transplant workup, the whole process of having to undergo a number of tests, making sure that they're really healthy enough for a transplant, what would you want that individual who's going through those hurdles of getting ready for a transplant, what do you want them to know?
Well, it depends a little bit on how much of advance notice you have, but the healthier you are going into the transplant, the healthier you will be coming out. So I think someone should always be aware of their health and live an active lifestyle to the extent that they can, but that will certainly help you if you're approaching a transplant. Another thing, based on my experience, is to recognize that you're going to feel so much better afterward than you feel before. For me, I was feeling, it was the day after, I was feeling significantly better than I was prior to the surgery.
And when were you able to go back to your 100-mile bike races?
Within 6 months.
That's remarkable.
Well, it is. I was off the bike, of course, for about 6 to 8 weeks, started a very simple ride. Within a few months, I was doing 50, 60-mile rides, and then within 6 months, I did my first 100-mile ride.
What goes through your mind when you're riding for 100 miles? That's a long way.
You can think about anything you want to. It's very freeing. Or think about nothing. For me, I would commute to work, and I would solve a lot of technical problems riding back and forth from work. When I'm out riding now, I don't know. I'm just, it's free time, so I'm not being bothered by cell phone calls or text messages. I'm just enjoying the ride.
So when you couldn't ride, when you were getting cramps before the transplant, and when you were in that hiatus before you could go back to really riding again, what was it like?
There's lots of different things that you can do with your time. And I found one of the unexpected blessings from the surgery and the recovery is I would have time to read a book at one sitting or have time to spend with my wife, like when we were in the hospital room, with absolutely no demands on us. We were just there together. And so I guess I found what blessings were there.
Yeah. I think finding solace in unusual times is really a key to being able to get through difficult medical events. Okay, so you personally are a bike riding enthusiast, and you've started this thing. It's not started. It's been going on for a long time now, called the Raven Rock Ramble. So what's the Raven Rock Ramble?
Well, it is a charity cycling event that benefits the UNC Kidney Center. When I envisioned this, actually I envisioned it shortly after the transplant. Once I was able to ride again and essentially had my health restored, well then my reaction was, well now what? What should I do? And I had organized some cycling events for the local bike club, so that's something I knew how to do. And so I decided I wanted to start this ride, and I had three objectives. One was to make it a first-class ride that area cyclists would plan their calendar around. The second was to raise awareness on the importance of organ donation. And then the third was to direct the proceeds of that toward kidney health. Now, the reason I put it in that order, even though it is primarily a fundraising event, is by making it the kind of event that cyclists really want to participate in, it's made it very, very popular.
As a matter of fact, I think it gets subscribed to its limit within a matter of days to weeks.
Well, it fills up months in advance. So it's a very popular ride.
And what kind of rides are there?
There's six different distances, anywhere from 10 to 100 miles. So we have racer types there that are going full speed. We have moms with children in trailers. We have pretty much the full spectrum.
And how long does it take to actually organize this each year?
I put about 200 hours a year into this event. It's going to be somewhat more this year because I've been doing a lot more programming behind it.
Now, in addition to putting on this just fantastic fundraising event, and incidentally, all the proceeds really go directly back with no administrative overhead to patients, directly back to patients. You have personally participated in the transplant games while they were still occurring.
Oh, that's true. I was in they had two cycling events, a time trial and a criterium, and I had the wonderful experience of having podium finishes for each of those events for each year that I participated.
It's too bad the transplant games are not as active as they once were, because that was a good outlet.
Oh, it really was, and it was very encouraging to see patients there to see athletes there that had their transplants over 25 years ago. I mean, that, to me, realized, helped my wife and I appreciate that I won't necessarily need a transplant again in just a few years. There's people here that have had them for decades.
Right. And can do remarkable things with transplant on all the immunosuppressive drugs and competing full bore.
There were some very, very good athletes there.
Right. When you think of organ donation for yourself and with your race, the Raven Rock Ramble, what issues do you want others to know about organ donation?
Well, I want them to hopefully volunteer themselves as organ donors, and they can do that when they get their driver's license. There's websites where they can do that. And in North Carolina, that then becomes a binding choice. That is to say, once you volunteer to be an organ donor, then if you're at a point where you don't need them anymore, let's say that you've been in an accident of some sort or something, then number of organ and tissues can go to save the lives of any number of other people. And for a lot of people, that's sort of out of sight, out of mind. I'd like to bring that more to the forefront, to know that they have options that really can save lives at a point in time where they won't need those anymore.
Lungs, heart, kidney, kidneys, liver, eyes, skin, bone, the
all
list goes on and on. And in each one of those circumstances, the recipient, like you, now get a second life. They are restored to health in a way that if they don't get a transplant, those opportunities are really not as available. So are there other things that we can do as a community to really increase organ donation awareness more than the things that you're already doing?
Well, I think one way is just showing the examples of success that we have. I would have to say that I'm one of those, but there's lots of others as well. I have a number of transplant recipients who are volunteers at my event, and it was kind of surprising that a lot of the participants would say, well, they look like normal people. I said, well, we are normal people.
What's terrifying is the number of people who are on waiting lists across our country keep growing each and every year, and the number of deceased donors remains relatively flat. So organ donation, both living donation as well as prescripted donation, after, for example, going through a driver's license process, mm-hmm. really is the pool of available organs that are so desperately needed. So as much organ donation awareness as possible strikes me as a way of really affecting, at this point, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people's lives. If you're not a cyclist, and I am absolutely one of those, how can one support the Raven Rock Ramble? What are the other ways of supporting it?
I'm always looking for volunteers, especially for the day of the event. The website is ravenrockramble.org. Over on the left, there's a link for the volunteer page where you can register for that. I also need volunteers leading up to the event. Time's not the only way. There's also links there if you'd like to donate. It is a fundraising event, and so I would welcome any funds that are donated toward that.
How has getting a transplant affected you personally, spiritually, or in any other way?
I think it's made me a whole lot more aware. It's easy to take things for granted when you have no reason not to. You tend not to think about the air that you're breathing unless it were suddenly restricted. For me, I would say I was taking my health for granted because it was just there and I was enjoying it. And then it went away. So I'm very appreciative that I'm able to do the things that I can do. I'm thankful that I'm able to do those things. It's also given me a sense of perspective. My wife and I joke whether it's, you know, the heat pump is broken or the roof is leaking or what have you. We say, well, it's not a kidney. And that sets a pretty high threshold. So it makes it a whole lot easier to not sweat the small stuff.
Yeah, what a wonderful life message for everyone. There are huge calamities that can occur, and they make things that are bothering us on a day-to-day basis pale in comparison.
You know, I wouldn't wish end-stage renal disease on anyone, but looking back, I'd have to say that with where I am now and what I've experienced, my life is richer as a result.
Live each day for the wonderful part of that day, each hour for what it can bring, and each minute, because it's another minute worth sharing. It's a wonderful perspective. Thank you so much for sharing your story, and thank you for all your hard work with the Raven Rock Ramble and other organ donation awareness events that you're doing. The Kidney Center is most appreciative of all of your efforts, and so are the individuals that are the direct beneficiaries of the monies that we receive. So thank you for it all.
You're very welcome, and it's my pleasure.